College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan on this Wednesday. We are live at Radio Row in New Orleans ahead of Super Bowl 59. Danny Ruye is back in our Navy Yard studios holding down the fort. I'm out here in New Orleans as we get closer and closer to kickoff to the game everybody is waiting for. And Danny, fired up, because the last time we had this guy on the show, I think for days after, we're getting calls from people saying, you got to have him back on. He was so good. Pac-Man Jones, longtime NFL defensive back, is with us. Thank you for a couple of minutes. We appreciate you.
No problem, man. How my boys doing?
Everybody's good in
good,
D.C.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Last time you were on with us, Danny, do you remember what player it was that we were talking about? That it was a corner that Washington had signed for a bunch of William Jackson.
It was William Jackson.
And you were just crushing
Garbage.
William Jackson. And everyone at the
Garbage.
Time, everyone was like, oh, he's going to be good. They gave him a bunch of money. And you're like, this dude can't play dead in a Western. And you were right.
I was right.
Yes.
You were his teammate.
Yeah.
I mean, were you guys boys, or you just didn't like him, or you just knew he was bad, or what?
No, I told Will I won't talk about him no more, so I'm going to give him a pass today.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I'll ask you about another corner, though. We have high hopes for Marshawn Lattimore. He really struggled at the end of the year. He had a hamstring injury. They traded for him. He only played in a couple games. Mike Evans gave him the what for in Tampa. And then he really had a tough time with A.J. Brown in Philly in the NFC title game. How confident should we be that Lattimore can bounce back?
I think Lattimore's a good player. He just got to get all the knickknacks. He had a lot of knickknack injuries. And when you're doing that, bro, you go out, your body ain't ready. You be in bad position sometimes. You ain't practicing. You ain't getting the reps. So, but I wouldn't be. I think he got a higher upper side though. Like I wouldn't be as worried as you was with Will Jackson.
Well, dubious honor.
I loved it. It came back to William Jackson.
Yeah. He's not as bad as William Jackson, which is you know,
no, he's
something.
Not. Yeah. He's definitely not.
Is the position changing? These days, Pac-Man, you have to do different things than maybe did a handful of years ago. I mean, you still got to tackle, still got to break up passes when they come your way. But is it a little bit different now maybe than it was, say, 5-10 years ago?
Oh, yeah, it's way different. You can barely touch them now. I think it's harder now to play than when we played. We could at least touch them and beat them up a little bit. But it's so wish-washy of what you can do as a cornerback right now. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard for them.
What technique is coached differently than it was then? Or I mean, what is the coaching?
Well, I don't know about the techniques that's coaching different. I'm just saying you just can't touch nobody right now.
Yeah. Is that going to – you think there's a trend where it's going to continue that way, or will it circle back to, all right, we're going to play a little more physically on the outside? Because
I don't know, man. Everybody like points. You know what I mean? NFL want to see a lot – big numbers. People want to see touchdowns. So I don't think it will go back to where you could really just beat up people, because everybody wants to see people score. Everybody wants to see points on the board.
Well, it's also that teams are now playing. They just don't want to be on the SportsCenter highlight. They don't want to get beat deep. So everybody's playing shells. Everyone's backing off, making you matriculate. You know, you could take your 4 and 5 yard passes here and there, making teams do that, knowing that you might self destruct or sabotage. I think that's one of the biggest changes too, is that everybody's sort of backing off and keeping everything in front now.
I agree. It's no disguising either.
Yeah.
I think the disguising is a big thing of confusing a quarterback. You hardly ever see too many teams disguise. You pretty much know they in after the pre-snap. They already down showing if it's a single high or if it's too high. So I think that's a big thing too.
Pac-Man Jones is with us, played the majority of his career smack dab in the middle in Cincinnati, had the first team All-Pro nomination, but 12 years in the National Football League. For you, when you watched Washington with a rookie quarterback and Jaden Daniels from afar this season, what did you make of how much he changed the organization and how quickly just by showing up and answering the bell at QB?
Hey, he's a good player. Y'all got y'all something with him. I said that week one. I said week seven he was the rookie of the year. I said if he win another playoff game, he would probably been player MVP of the year for what he's done as a rookie. I think McClain is a good cast around him also. Commanders are back. Commanders got high hopes over there with Commanders.
And they told us they're keeping the name, too.
Yeah. See,
back home, people aren't too fond of the name Commanders.
Yeah.
Most people didn't want them to change it from Redskins. But even if they're going to change it,
right.
Commanders, they don't really like it. But yesterday, 2 days ago, the owner came out and said they're rolling with Commanders.
I don't see why not. It's already what's done now. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But y'all got a good team. It's been a long time since y'all been good. And I think y'all are in a good situation right now.
Over the course of your career, 12-plus years, did you come across a rookie that sort of just walked in and could do it right away? With that, seeming like it was impervious to all the things that usually make it hard for people?
Yeah, AJ Green.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Green was first day you knew it.
Based on how he carried himself or the physical tools?
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going up against him in practice going, he's a dude.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, he's a dude. He's a dude.
I wonder how quickly in the locker room they knew about Jaden then.
They know.
Like
they know.
Before the first game?
Hell yeah. We've been together all since April. You know him. Yeah, you know.
Just based on carrying himself.
And you get to see him.
Yeah.
You get to see him. There's a lot of bullets in practice. It's just you ain't hitting nobody, but everything else is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing some of your own media now. You got your own show.
Pac-Man Jones Show. Shout out to my team at betonline.ag. My co-host is Evan. It's good, man. Just talking about sports, culture. And I do it in my way. You know what I mean? Say it how I want to see it. And enjoy talking about different things that's going on. So, yeah, you can find it on every platform. The Pac-Man Jones Show. Sponsored by betonline.ag, baby.
We appreciate you, good sir. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Pac-Man.
Enjoy your week. There's Pac-Man Jones with us on Grant and Danny live from Radio Row in New Orleans. 12-year NFL cornerback who always tells it like it is about Washington's corner personnel. Wanted to steal a few minutes from him. Last time he was on, that William Jackson content literally went all over the country.
Everywhere,
man. He just went in on William Jackson. In a way, you just don't see players talk about other former teammates.
I mean, we're sort of sitting there listening to it. And who I'm blanking. Who was the receiver he was with?
Marshall.
Brandon Marshall, thank you. I don't know why I couldn't pull it. When they came in together, and they were great. It was such a fun, you know, back and forth. It was basically like you and me were passengers all of a sudden on our show.
Yeah, we were like, just sitting there like,
these
all right,
guys
you guys host the show.
Are chopping it up, and, you know, you put a couple things on a tee for him. But I remember as he's making those comments, we're both going, looking at each other going, oh my God, this is going to be everywhere. You know, like you could just, you could tell right away. And as you said, he is unfiltered, man.
Lattimore is the key to the corner room improving in 2025. You heard Jones say it. Mm-hmm. He fully anticipates that there's going to be a bounce back coming because he thinks Lattimore will get healthy. That's what Washington has claimed. That's what Adam Peters has said all the way up at the highest level as general manager. That's what Dan Quinn said in his postseason press conference as the head coach. But they've got more to do than that, Danny. If they're just planning on kind of running back some of the same cast of characters and Lattimore being a shutdown number one because he's healthy, that's not good enough. Now, I don't think that's their plan because they got too many free agents, right? Noah Igbinoghene, as an example, could walk out the door. Benjamin St. Juste is a free agent, could walk out the door. We know that Lattimore's under contract and will start on one side. Sanders still going into year two, the Michigan rookie, who was outstanding in his first season, was drafted to be inside in the nickel, played left corner this season. I'd imagine Mikey will go into the nickel if they can get an outside starter, but that would be my priority. Lattimore is my corner one. Sign or draft somebody early to start outside on the boundary. Have Sanra still in on the nickel. That's how I'm fixing this. Then I'll re-up with Igbinoghene, who wants to play for Dan Quinn and Joe Witt. It's why he followed them from Dallas to Washington. He's my fourth guy. I like Benjamin St. Juste more than most, but I think it's time for him to get a fresh start. So then I'll go find a fifth, a sixth corner for camp competition, probably outside the building. But Michael Davis, thanks for the time. It's been real. And then St. Juste probably goes somewhere else and tries to start over.
So talked about this a bunch when it comes to whether it was Myles Garrett as the lens for the conversation or upgrading the offensive line or otherwise. This is one of those premium positions where the best in the league now are making in the 20s. I mean, that's kind of the barrier. Quarterback's its own marketplace. It, you know, those guys are making 50, 60, 70 to come, et cetera. But if you're great at something else, you crack 30 at one of the marquee spots, whether it's receiver, tackle, pass rusher, and corner is kind of getting there. So the corner market in free agency, it depends on where you want to go and how you want to do it, but you can go big game shopping there. Traverius Ward is a free agent. There are a couple other guys at maybe the top of the list, household names that have been very good, whether they've still got mileage left, tread on the tires, et cetera. I don't know. That's obviously the folks that are doing the scouting. But this might be an area, to your point, where you can upgrade via free agency instead of saying, there are no good left tackles on the market. They're going to make you markedly better. Maybe you have to do that in the draft if that's something you want to do and move Coleman over to the right. So it's just a way of saying the corner market is a place where I think they could go shopping and do better, frankly, than was there over this previous year without having to go crazy, without having to go spend a whole bunch of 25, 28, 30 million bucks to go win the bidding war for the best available guy. I think you can do better than you did this year without breaking the bank.
Yeah, I do wonder, though, how much money they want to spend on a veteran corner with them just having taken on the contract of Lattimore. I imagine they're viewing that, Danny, like their free agent signing. Because, again, yeah, you trade for him in season last year, you want the stretch run, and that backfired in a big way just in terms of how he played down the stretch. But basically, you sign him to a two-year contract as soon as the season ended. And it's not cheap, but it's still a discount if he's a corner one based on what the market is going to bear out at that position, obviously. But I don't think you then go back to the board. And I'm just picking names of guys that are out there that made good money this year. But like Charvarius Ward of San Francisco made $13.5 million. He tragically lost a young baby with his wife.
Yeah.
And said at the end of the season, every time he flew back to San Fran from the hospital or came back from a game, just getting back to San Francisco made him sad. He said his wife had to leave the city because she was having so much trauma that she just had to go be with her family, and the memories there were too awful. And I bring that up only to say, not to bring the room down, this awful thing that happened, but he basically told reporters because of that he plans on leaving San Francisco, would have stayed otherwise. If you want to go get Charvarius Ward at 29, who's an excellent player, and pay him, I don't know what it's going to take, $15, $17, $18 million a year, that could be Washington's answer as their top corner if they hadn't already done the Lattimore thing. Mm-hmm. I don't see them having Lattimore making $19 million and then signing Jonathan Jones from New England, the 9-year veteran, 31-year-old, to a contract as well. Or, signing Carlton Davis from the Detroit Lions, the 7-year veteran at 28, who's the highest paid corner that's going to hit free agency based on his AAV this year at $14.5 million. Could be wrong, but I think they probably want to get a little cheaper, and the Lattimore addition is the splash.
I think that's probably right. I mean, to me, what I would like is to say, because you heard Albert Breer's point last hour when he joined us, sort of talking about Philadelphia and how their roster's built, right, and how they went and they drafted this first-round receiver that was a bust, Jalen Reagor, or they drafted this guy, Arcega Whiteside, and it didn't work. So instead of just going, oh, we drafted him high, they went and fixed it. They went and, whether they traded for A.J. Brown or drafted Devontae Smith, et cetera. So, again, if this regime is confident, and here's where I'm going with that, if this regime is confident that Lattimore is not the Lattimore we saw, then you don't have to do anything. I'm not. But, again, I don't know anything. All I saw was a guy not play particularly well and get beat a lot and commit a lot of penalties and look like he couldn't really run. Is that a hamstring thing? I hope so, quite frankly. I hope that he's a different player than the guy that was so good for so long in New Orleans. If that's the case, you don't have to make a splash. I'm looking at that big game market, so to speak, because I'm going, I don't really believe this. And I understand $18 million or $19 million against the cap is a significant deal, but this is an area of import to me, and I'm willing to pay a little penny to sort of ensure it. But I bet you they're going your route, believing in their Lattimore acquisition, and I don't say bargain hunting because that's the, it's got a negative connotation, but I think value hunting may be the way that I would phrase it, where it's like that middle class of free agent that doesn't, set off fireworks in the room, but is a, hey, this will be sneaky good as your cornerback two or three with the cast they currently have.
Well, I just think about their division, and to me, it is unacceptable to not be built well and deep at corner. And it's why when we had Peters on the show before the season, it was the only position that I chose to address with him and to bring up and say, look, love the offseason, understand he can't fix everything in one fell swoop. But what's going on at corner, man? And the reason you choose that position is not only was it clear they were going to have problems there with Emmanuel Forbes penciled in to start, who just can't do it in this league from what we'd seen. But you're in a division where the Eagles, who are going to the Super Bowl, they're playing Sunday, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, just to start their receiver room. Then they obviously added Jahan Dotson. They've got Dallas Goedert, who they split out. We saw him go in motion and run jet action carries, super athletic. The Cowboys have CeeDee Lamb, who you could tell me is a top five wide receiver in football, and I'm not going to scream at you. The Giants have a dog now in Malik Nabers. This is a legitimate wide receiver one. That's a bad offense. That's a bad quarterback situation. So he's not renowned right now today like he's going to be a year from now. That's a superstar wide receiver. And then look at the rest of the schedule. The Bears. I don't know if Keenan Allen comes back or not, but at least you've got Rome Odunze and DJ Moore. The Lions, you're dealing with Amon-Ra St. Brown and whatever else they do with Jameson Williams in that receiving core. Denver with Cortland Sutton. The Raiders, now that's more of a Brock Bowers situation, but split out. Jacoby Myers actually had a really good year for them. The Seahawks, depending on DK Metcalf getting traded or not, have him and Tyler Lockett and JSN. You're playing Justin Jefferson and the Vikings on the road next year.
Yeah.
You're playing at the Dolphins with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I could keep going. The Falcons, we saw what Drake London did for them this season. Like, they have a really brutal wide receiver schedule. And it's just a league now, Danny, where everyone's got at least one of these guys.
And that's what I was going to say. You look at there's no matter how you slice it, to get to the end of the road that we all want, which is back to the NFC title game with a chance to win it, you've got, look at the playoff teams. Everybody that was in the postseason, maybe save Green Bay, has a marquee, uncheckable superstar. Tampa Bay and Mike Evans, A.J. Brown in Philadelphia, Amon-Ra St. Brown in a great passing game to boot, Justin Jefferson with the Vikes, Arisa Puka-Nacua. And you go down the list, and then the teams that almost made it. You already mentioned Seattle's room, which might be one of the two or three best in the sport. If you're going to get there, and San Francisco fell off this year, but what if those guys are healthy? What if it's, you know, Ayuk and Deebo Samuel's back? I mean, you see my point. This is an essential marquee position, which, again, is why these guys are now making that much more money. It is a premium spot, that cornerback. So even if you don't have a one-on-one wide receiver battle, you think Lattimore and Evans, which didn't go well for Lattimore this past time, but if you don't have that specifically, you still need excellent pass coverage. Even if it's not just one wide receiver, because the days of traveling and going one-on-one, doing a shutdown Deion Sanders thing, I don't know how much that's a reality down in, down out, right? I mean, teams are playing more zone than they ever have, and you've got to be excellent in that regard. Pass defense is such a premium thing. I care about it infinitely more than run and stuffing and run stopping. Those things take care of themselves. Third and eight doesn't. That's the money time, and this defense has to improve right there. I'd go get DJ Reed from the Jets, for example, upper middle class kind of signing there. I mean, those type names are available.
The Wizards traded Kyle Kuzma today. We're going to give you our thoughts on that move and what it means for the continuation of the tank job in Washington as far as the NBA team is concerned. They're crushing it. They're doing great. They're doing exactly what they want and what we want. Everybody's happy. Kuzma on the move to Milwaukee. We've got thoughts. Plus, if you want to discuss the cornerback position and how you would go about addressing that area of the depth chart, if you were Adam Peters this offseason, we want to hear from you on the MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. We're about 40 minutes away from giving away a pair of tickets to see The Weeknd at Northwest Stadium right here on The Fan. On site at Radio Row in New Orleans, ahead of Super Bowl 59. You're listening to Grant and Danny on The Fan. We know you've got options. Thanks for choosing us. It means a lot. Danny, we found out today that we are the 11th best afternoon drive radio show in America.
Yeah. Here we go, buddy.
Pretty cool, right? Old Ricky Bobby saying, if you're not first, you're 11th or something like that?
I think that's what happened. I love, by the way, the best turn is in that movie when his dad goes, what? No, that doesn't make any sense at all. There's all sorts of different places you could be. But yeah, that's really neat, man. That was really cool. So I always appreciate kind words and kudos and nice things. So thanks to Barrett Sports Media, who apparently listens to a lot of radio, man, to be able to discern between who's one and who's seven and who's 19. But, yeah, it's an honor to be nominated.
Yes, it is. We are flattered to have been just a part of the rankings that they did of all the afternoon drive shows in the different markets around the country. They used a picture, by the way.
They used a great picture.
Our ranking of us being 11th. It's of you and me and the boys on a plane.
Yes.
Where were we going for that trip?
We're going to New Orleans.
Oh,
and
well.
We're connecting and we're delayed and it was already a bingus, right?
Miles Garrett walking by on Radio Row. I wonder if anybody's interested in talking to Miles Garrett, by the way.
Yes.
That would be probably a popular commodity today after he demanded a trade less than 24 hours ago. That takes some stones, by the way. You're the biggest story in football yesterday, and you just show up to do some interviews.
Just saunter around like McMahon. I love it.
Sit down. And anything you guys want to talk to me about? But, yes, so that was our first of two trips to New Orleans in short order here back in the middle of December. But I bring this up because I took a selfie. And I look so goofy. It's just on a plane. I'm like half laughing.
Yeah.
Danny's making a weird face.
Ryan and Darris are, yeah.
We're all in the photo, right? They use that picture. Like, we have all these official pictures on our website. I thought that was hilarious.
I love that. Yeah, because it's like, at that point, that's an encapsulation to a degree of the show. And that's why I love that. Like, anyone could do, like, the pose media shot where, like, one guy, the irreverent guy's got his arms crossed, and then the one guy's like kind of half laughing, or there's like a point, and it's like a staged goofy thing. That was a very candid moment. I'm livid, and you're laughing at me. That's us.
Danny straight-faced and angry,
yeah,
and
pissed
me
off.
Just
yeah.
Chuckling. Very, very funny. A couple of news items related to D.C. sport today that we've got to hit. Ron Rivera is headed back to college. He's going back to school Billy Madison style. He is apparently going to be named the general manager of California football. So this is a new thing.
Yep.
But with college football becoming professional, essentially, with players all getting paid to play now in NIL, instead of just having an athletic director and a head coach, teams are actually building front offices. Bill Belichick, as an example, when he took the job at UNC, brought his former GM in the NFL at one point in time, Michael Lombardi, with him to be the GM at the University of North Carolina with the Tar Heels. So Rivera texted a bunch of folks in the media today, including Adam Schefter, who said, Coach Belichick has made going back to school cool. Rivera texted reporters today, stay tuned, I am coming home, Cal Athletics, Cal Berkeley. So it sounds like the reports that he's going to take a GM job at the college level are true. He got an interview with the Jets this offseason. I thought that was just kind of a, you got an agent who's got relationships. I mean, the Jets were interviewing anyone. I think if you would have called them, Danny, you might have gotten an interview.
It would have been
Mike
nice.
Mike Loxley interviewed with the Jets, for God's sake. I mean, they were just talking to anyone and everyone that was willing to sit down with them for an hour on Zoom. But Rivera back to college, back to Cal, where he went and played.
I think, actually, this is the perfect role for him. We beat up on him a lot. I know I do specifically, but this is exactly where he should be. Like, the strengths of Ron Rivera to me are not being an actual, you know, normal football general manager. He was not qualified to do that. But the, like, behind the scenes, keep order and keep young men accountable part of things. Like, think about how great he was in 2020 as the world is melting. Right, like everything going on socially, everything going on with pandemic and things like that. He was exactly what this franchise needed, that stable hand. Well, it's not like that all the time, of course, in college, but you're dealing with adolescent kids that have, you know, wild schedules and irresponsibility and things and try to get them all on the same page. Like, that's what he should be doing. He should be working with young people, shaping them into quality young men. Actually,
and don't forget, for all of our cynicism and all the shtick we do and look, he did a really bad job. Let's just call it what it is. Specifically as a general manager, less so as a coach. But it just didn't go well. He's a good human being. He's a person that you want around your organization because he of his decency, I would say, and his relationship building prowess. But also, as you said, around young people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about some of those videos that we were so excited about when he first got hired in Washington, where he was sitting there. I can't remember who the player was in Carolina, but a guy had just had a tragedy and lost his brother in a shooting or something, and he's sitting next to him, and Rivera's got his arm around him. Or even here, where Jeremy Reeves lost his mother, and he has this exchange with him in his office, and you know everyone's crying, including me watching it. Like, there is that very human element to him where I think you get him around some young people, he'll shape them into being better men. I really believe that.
Me too. So that, to me, this is perfect. He should not be an NFL head coach. He should not be an NFL general manager, certainly, or in charge of personnel or otherwise. But this is actually, because it's not like, when you think of GM, we're just sitting here saying he's a bad general manager, and he was, but it's different with college football, I think. It's not your traditional GM role. You still have coaches that are going to do most of the recruiting and stuff and get all the pieces to fit and things like that. But you know, sort of helping establish culture, you know, accountability. Like, he should be the guy meeting with one of the kids. Hey, how come you haven't gone to class in 4 weeks? You know what I mean? Like, how come we're getting reports from the university police that you're staying up too late and playing music at all hours of the night? Whatever. That's great for him. And I'm not being dismissive or flippant about that. I think that's his calling. I think he'll be great at that.
We're going to sneak in some thoughts on the Kyle Kuzma trade, which is hilarious to say because as a marquee player on one of the major teams in town getting traded, generally speaking, this would be much bigger news. We'd lead the show. We'd have guests on. It could carry us for a day as we close in on the NBA trade deadline. But we're ahead of the Super Bowl, live at Radio Row. And frankly, when you're 7-300, numbers approximate, this is about what you get. But Kyle Kuzma is headed to Milwaukee, to the Bucks. So here's the specifics of the deal. The Bucks are sending Chris Middleton, rookie guard A.J. Johnson, coming off a career high in points this week, 2028 first-round pick swap, all to Washington, the three assets that they get back. Kuzma, Patrick Baldwin Jr., who's little used, second-round pick, back to Milwaukee in this deal. Middleton comes over. Don't get too excited. A three-time All-Star. You remember him winning a championship back in 2021. He was an integral part of that Bucks team. He's been there for 11 years. He's 33. He had off-season surgery on both ankles. He's only averaging about 12.5 points per game, lowest total since 2014. The tough thing about that is that you're taking on his contract. So he's owed $32 million this year and then $34 million next year. But you're willing to do that to move on from Kuzma, to get the pick swap, and maybe to get a helpful player, depending on what happens with guard A.J. Johnson, who was a first-round pick last year. As far as Kuzma goes, Danny, we've been watching him. 4 years, $102 million, the deal that he signed with the Wizards. Very friendly for Milwaukee, $21 million against their cap this year, $19 million next year for him over the final 2 years of the deal. So now they'll put the 6 foot 9 inch swingman, if you want to call him that, I guess. He can shoot, he can go inside. Yeah. They can put him in the front court next to Giannis in their small ball lineups. Kuzma has struggled from the outside, but when he's going well, when it's right, that's what he is. I mean, he's a career 33% shooter from deep who's at a career low 28% this year. But there are plenty of games where he can fill it up, and Milwaukee's going to bank on that, I think.
Yeah, this is a bummer for Washington. They gambled here, and I think they lost. And here's what I mean. The best time to trade Kyle Kuzma, in retrospect, would have been this offseason or last trade deadline. I was surprised then that they didn't. And they gambled that he would thrive and, you know, play well with Jordan Poole handling the basketball at the one, and you hope that Kuzma puts up great numbers. He's been terrible this year. Now, of late, over the last couple of weeks, he's kind of picked business up and has had some of those great Kyle Kuzma moments where he's playing some bully ball against smaller guys, getting to the rim all the time and sticking some threes, et cetera. The other night against Charlotte, I think he was really good, if memory serves. But, frankly, he seemed disinterested for part of this. Was banged up, I know. But, you know, a guy that's 6'10", that athletic and that strong, he had a game. I harped on this a bunch of times during the Beltway Blitz when we brought up the Wizards. We had a single solitary rebound. That's an effort thing. Again, it just looks like he wasn't that into it for whatever reason. I don't know to question effort otherwise. I'm just saying it looks like it wasn't his best. So his value went down. It has not been lower in a long, long, long time. So this is what you could get for him. It's not very much. They're basically paying a $12, $13 million salary cap tax for a future pick swap with the Milwaukee Bucks. That's not much. You're never going to get the De'Aaron Fox deal or a huge amount. But, you know, they didn't sell at peak value. They gambled hoping that he would really thrive, and it didn't really happen. You said it very well with Middleton. This is not an upgrade. This is taking on some salary to be able to, then move for future flexibility. It's kind of the move before the move, if that makes sense. But, you know, in terms of the Wizards, they're just grabbing assets as much as they possibly can, and this makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, Danny, for the record, 8-41. So four wins fewer than anyone else in the conference.
They're doing it right.
Four games up, as far as I'm concerned. Four games in first place at this point. Three fewer wins than even the Jazz at 11-37 out west. So they are plus +3 in the win column on the rest of the association. And if nothing else, moving on from Kuzma, you risk him getting hot, him helping carry you to a couple extra wins. You don't have to worry about that now.
That
you
is see? Correct. Yeah, they're doing what they should do. I'm hoping more moves to come here.
We will be talking more quickly about the Wizards and the Kuzma deal and the Beltway Blitz today when we also cover the Commanders and the NFL. That's coming up at the top of the hour. We'll also crowbar in some thoughts on Alex Ovechkin, an empty net goal last night, one goal closer to history, and Wayne Gretzky. He is just 17 goals off the pace. Our double play is next. Danny, I'm going to tell you that for the double play, something happened today that I found completely outrageous.
Oh.
One of the most egregious things that I've ever heard in my life. And somehow I'm the only person that thought that this is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my entire life. Everyone else that I've asked, there's only been three people in fairness.
Okay.
But the other three people that I've asked were like, I don't think that's that weird. So maybe we should play Is It Weird? But something happened today with our staff in this building at the convention center, and Danny Ruye will weigh in on if I'm the one on crazy pills. We'll play that game. Am I on crazy pills?
Do we have a sound
Grant
for that?
And Danny on the Fan. They're going to guide you when you need it the most. Whether you're seeking guardianship or an elderly family member navigating through the probate process of a loved one who recently passed away, or you're trying to set up estate planning documents for your child's future, the attorney at Kadori & Murad is going to help you schedule a free consultation with their team. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you at Grant and Danny. They'll give you a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal in the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. All right, Danny, are you ready for this?
I think I am. I mean, I have no idea what it is, by the way. I've received no intel on it whatsoever. If it's you holding an alligator, I've seen that photo.
No, I have held an alligator in the last 24 hours, and I have had a snake wrapped around my neck that was the size of, I don't know, like a small train. I mean, that thing was like 40 feet. That was a big snake.
Ryan just put the pictures on stream again.
And Ryan just put it back up, so now I can't look at you until it's gone.
By the way, has anyone seen any of the hilarious pictures people made of me as like Crocodile Dundee?
I saw one.
I tweeted one of them out at Grant H. Paulson if you want to go check it out. I look silly. All right, so anyway, that's not important. I'm sorry, I got distracted. Denton Day is with us. He is one of the producers back in our D.C. headquarters. He works over at the other station.
The Deuce.
But you hear him occasionally, not on the Deuce, but here on 106.7 The Fan. Denton was going – well, let me just say this. You get a call from Denton today, Darius.
Yes.
Okay. Did you answer the call?
So I missed the original call.
Okay.
Felt my phone vibrating in my pocket. I was like, oh, this is weird. Why would somebody call me? I'm not that important.
So we're at Radio Row. We're sitting at our table. We're getting ready. We're putting together our rundown. We're recording interviews. Denton's been nowhere to be found for like 27 minutes. We don't know where he is. Okay.
It's a long time.
Yeah. So then, Darius, you call him back or you text him?
I called him back because I figured if Denton's calling me, it must be important.
Okay.
So I called him back.
And what happens?
Denton proceeds to say, hey, where are you? And I was like, oh, we're about to head upstairs with Grant. We're going to go do our show meeting in the media room. He says, I've got an emergency situation.
And I said, which, by the way, when Darius originally told me about this, Danny, he goes, we have an emergency right now. I said, what?
What?
That's literally what he said. We have an emergency. I said, what do you mean? He's like, Denton's having an emergency situation. I'm thinking Denton just had a heart attack or is dying.
It's stroking out or something? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, or he's sick. Is doubled over a toilet or something? What is going on?
Well, it did involve a toilet.
So Darius goes to tell me?
Denton is stuck in a bathroom stall without toilet tissue. It was a stall that had no toilet tissue.
By the way, that's also called toilet paper.
Toilet paper.
For everyone else in America listening.
Toilet
right
paper,
now.
Toilet tissue, same thing. Tissue.
I've just never heard anyone call it toilet tissue, Danny.
I've heard that.
Yeah, thank you, Danny.
What do you call it, Danny?
It's toilet paper. But I've heard toilet
don't
tissue.
Don't make me the bad guy here.
No, you're not. It's no tissue. One's a bad guy. I'm just saying I've heard it.
Okay.
I would never call it that, but I've heard it.
Here's where I need to jump in. Denton is a grown-ass adult, right? How old are you, Denton?
Why'd you say ass?
Well, emphasis on ass for this story.
Yeah. How old are you?
29.
29. He's a good man. I've hung out with him for a few nights.
He's a grown-up, yeah.
He's a really good man. I like Denton. He's 29 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a stall, and there's no toilet paper.
Or tissue.
He calls Darius, who's at work. We are working here. And he says to Darius, who's busy flagging down guests, setting up interviews, you know, talking to celebrities, doing all the stuff that we're doing.
Sweating profusely.
By the way, all Darius has done all week is sweat. I've never seen anyone sweat more. He come like two people today referenced how sweaty he was right when he got here. And he's like, I'm going to go get a paper towel. I was like, no problem. Go
you
get
mean a
paper
tissue?
Towel. But he's working very hard. We're it's our job. We're here. And Denton calls him and goes, can you come to the bathroom, not knowing which stall I'm in, get toilet paper, and hand it to me either under or over. How are we doing that?
Either one would have been fine.
Spare a square, basically.
Yeah.
I think this is the most insane thing I've ever heard, Danny, that he would ask this. This ask is outrageous. Everyone's like, well, what else would you do? What's wrong with it? Pull up your pants. Mm. Take five steps over to the other stall.
It's an absolute L.
Plop back down.
Emphasis
and now
plop.
Clean up whatever you have to clean up. What if we weren't here? He's just going to sit there until the 911 comes?
I would have called. So, well, see, if Darius wasn't there, I would have done that.
What if you didn't know anyone here?
What? Yeah,
just never leaving the bathroom?
I would have been in trouble. I would have got up if I didn't know anyone here. But you got to go to your friends first.
So I was going
to
say.
The fact that you think this is asinine is crazy to
Denton,
me.
How far down the list would you have had to go before you called our boss?
CK would have been. I wasn't going to call Beamish or Finley. They weren't.
There's
answer.
No chance you would have called CK.
I would have called CK.
So let's say Darius no sells you, doesn't answer.
I would have called CK and asked him to find a janitor to situate the issue. Because, like, there are janitors here, and they are doing a very bad job
but do
at
you
replacing
understand
toilet paper.
How inappropriate that would be.
You know we work in radio, right? What is appropriate and inappropriate in radio?
You'd call your boss.
Yes.
Who's at work.
Yes.
And you'd say, can you come bring me
I'd
toilet paper?
I'd call him if he was at home. I'd call him if he was in Northern Virginia. Hey, can you make a call to the convention center? Daddy needs to wipe.
Danny, please. I feel like I'm crazy.
So
Darius is
here's
like,
what's at play here.
I don't think it's unreasonable. I came over here to be Mitch and Finley. Now, I will say Brian agreed with me. He's like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. JP was like, what's wrong with that? Why wouldn't he ask Darius to come bring him toilet paper? I feel like I'm insane. I think that's one of the most outrageous requests in the history of the world.
There's a lot at play here, and I'm going to have to unpack it. Here we go. I've got a shovel. Number one, you or somebody, I'm talking to you, my dear friend Grant Paulson, who won't let people know that you're actually doing that. So that's where you come to this situation as
a
person
a
that
endeavor.
Has never once admitted that he too has gone potty. Like you claim that you're number one for 7 minutes at a time and no one can ask any follow up questions. So it's kind of I understand the how taken aback you are. That's point number one. Point number two, again emphasis on point number two, is Denton has to know the situation and not in the way that you're thinking about it. If he's got the kind of situation, you have to be very careful here with the old FCC leaning over our shoulders. If he's got the kind of situation where he cannot stand up, I think a lot of us have been there over the course of those times. If it's a standard issue, as you're talking about, GP, then yeah, you do a loose repant, you waddle to the stall next to you, you wait for a low traffic time, and you just make it happen. If it's if I stand up, it's all over. Including having to burn these pantaloons and the undergarments that are closest between me and certain chaos. I get it. It's not something you'd want to do. You don't want to major in this. This is hopefully the time that it happens. But
the only time.
Hopefully. I think what Denton's trying to get across here is that this was an emergency. And I get it. I get it. It's not. I wouldn't be proud of it, but I understand.
Not proud of it. It's important to point out, Danny, we had a great dinner last night.
It was unbelievable.
Appetizer. Gumbo.
Yeah.
Main course.
Mm-hmm.
Jambalaya pasta. You know how often I eat those two things? Not very
it's
frequently.
Warring factions in your digestive system right now. I get it, man. I've been there.
Yeah.
I just can't believe that Danny's only takeaway wasn't, I can't believe Denton did that.
Well, I didn't realize that you are so close to the vest about never admitting that you have taken a number two in your life.
Well, that is a thing, and no, it's private. No one should know about it.
No one should know.
That is a huge reason as to why you feel the way that you do.
That's why you're recoiling the way that you are, Grant.
Because you're talking to men that are confident in their bowel movements.
I mean this seriously. I could be wrong. It could be a psychological thing back in my head. I really don't think they're related at all. This is such a you got to fix this issue situation. What, multiple people can't help you get clean. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't ask him to wipe. I asked him to provide
That's a different phone call, by the way.
Yeah, that's a very different phone call. I like Darius a lot. I'm not asking him that. I'm just saying, hey, I have a situation. You can fix the situation without getting your hands dirty, literally and figuratively. Can you do it?
I do think that if there was no toilet tissue in the entire bathroom, I still wouldn't do what you did, but it would be a little more reasonable
what would you have done if there was nothing?
Found another bathroom.
So you're going to pull your pants up after having gumbo?
We don't need to go through all the details.
And go walk and find another bathroom?
Yeah, because I'm a grown-up, and this is a me problem.
You are an alien.
I'm not the one that called someone at work and had them leave their job to come help me
but
clean
up. But
you'd
be walking around with foul-smelling undergarments to go figure the situation out.
I don't want to explain to you how underwear works, but it shouldn't be touching the area in question.
This particular might have been.
This one needed it.
And I think that's a key point.
Needed.
Yeah.
Well, that's a different ballgame altogether.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Beltway Blitz comes your way next. We've got those tickets to see the weekend at Northwest Stadium. Maybe you can go with Denton and scout out the bathrooms.
Toilet tissue.
Over at Northwest Stadium. Ed McCaffrey is going to join us next hour as well. I want to talk to him about Luke's development. Christian being the father of a couple of NFL players should be fun. Grant and Danny on the Fan.